Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Time now for this day in sports history. First World Heavyweight Champion, Tom King of England, defeated American John Heenan in 1863. It was a right to the jaw. 1987, Ron Hextall of the Flyers became the first goalie in NHL history to actually shoot the puck and score. It was an empty net goal. Billy Smith had been credited with the goal because he was the last guy to touch the puck, but this time Hextall actually shot it and scored into an empty net. 2000, Mario Lemieux announced to the Penguins that he planned to return to the NHL as a player at the age of 35 for his modern owner player in U.S. pro sports. And 2004 in Michigan, five Indiana Pacers and seven fans were charged for various crimes related to a fight that broke out during a Pacers-Pistons game November 19th at the Palace in Auburn Hills. Time now for our call of the day. It's Brad Sham and the Dallas Cowboys beating the Washington Redskins.
He's got nine game winners. 54 for the lead with 14 seconds. The kick's away. Bailey! Yes! With 9 seconds, 54 yards. I wish I did anything as well as Dan Bailey kicks.
Well, you do. You're actually really good at your job.
He's awesome.
Brad's really good. Brad's a good guy. I don't know if you've ever met him, but Brad's a really good guy and does a great job. But that is our play-by-play call of the day. All right.
He's also on the list of people that have worked with Jack Ham.
Yes, he is, as a matter of fact. All right, let's bring in Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Frank, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, how are you today?
Doing really well. I'm here in D.C. You're in York. And, yes. Frank, first of all, when you were done with us last week, we were absolutely convinced that Penn State was going to Jacksonville. What was it, reading tea leaves, talking to people? What opened the door for you to send Penn State? Because you're the one that really broke it as to where they're going to go.
Well, I mean, I just thought that if you looked at where the possibilities were, it just seemed like Jacksonville was the best fit. I think Jacksonville has not had Penn State since 1976. I think they know the amount of Penn State fans and alumni in Florida, and
right,
they know how much of a draw Penn State is, and that they may not, I think they may not have a chance to get them necessarily for sure in the next few years. So take them while you have the chance. And I really don't think James Franklin and Penn State wanted to go to Nashville because, like we said last week about all the ongoing, lingering effects of the rape trial that began when he was head coach there.
Right. So, all right. So now, what do you think of the matchup? It seems on paper there are a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I think it's a great, two great names will draw people in. No matter that both teams really struggled on offense, especially a lot of the year. I think Georgia has some of the same problems that Penn State has. And while Penn State's going through a little bit of a transition looking for a new offensive coordinator, I mean, who's even going to be coaching Georgia officially by the time the game comes? I mean, they named a new coach, but then he's not going to be in charge, and their other coach obviously already took another job. And some guys may be staying on the staff and leaving. And so, who knows exactly how Penn State's offense is going to work, but I think Georgia has a much tougher deal to get their guys kind of collectively together for this game.
This is awfully tough. There are so many bowl games where you, quote, have interim tags placed on
on people. This is one where Brian McClendon is the interim coach. He's also the recruiting coordinator. And I'm on the conference call Sunday night listening to him, and he couldn't give any answer on anything for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, and we see it all the time because more coaches are getting fired all the time when they're only there a few years or they're leaving or whatever. And how do you fix this situation? And, you know, Missouri didn't accept the bowl game because of this. They could have gone to a bowl game, and they felt that it was better for them to not have this game, I guess, when they're going through this upheaval.
Exactly. There are 40 bowl games. There ended up being 3-5-7 teams that made it. Frank, Nancy Armour, for example, wrote a long column today in USA Today about the number of bowl games. How do you think, as someone who's covered this, enjoys bowl games, but at the same time wants what's best for college football, what are some of the things that come to mind right away that they should do about this system once you get past the playoff part?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is I could have gone to a bowl game in 2001.
Under you got that right.
So I missed out.
I could have announced it.
You know, I don't know. I guess I don't. I'm not an expert on how this kind of works with finances and everything else. Obviously, there's games that are being held because they can make money. And you would think that the players enjoy going. You would think that the extra practices help the teams. I mean, I don't know. I guess I grew up in the scenario where this was a real ultimate reward more for you. I mean, even in the 70s and 80s, there was more bowl games, obviously, than there was in the 60s and 50s, but there still wasn't anywhere near how many there are today. The games seem more special. It just seems a little odd to me that, you know, 5, 6, 10 of these games, I don't know anything about the teams playing in them, how their seasons were, where these games are, what they are. It almost seems, I guess, more amazing to me that there can be 40 games that are even close to being financially viable.
What about the playoff part? They're 4 now. You know there's going to be a clarion call over time to get this to 8. Should there be 8?
Well, I mean, I think probably there should be, but I think we all, or a lot of us, accept that this moves in steps, and this is better. Look at how this is compared to 1994, the one year where Penn State would have been most recently involved in this scenario, and at least I think. I guess actually in 2005 they might have been involved in this.
Yeah, they would have been. They would have been involved in 2005. And if they'd gone to 8, they would have been involved in 2008.
94 is where everybody goes back. I think look at the changes that they've made since then. So, hey, things move slow, but I think at least I'm headed in the right direction. I think you're right. I think 8 will probably come. So, you know, I don't know. How do you feel about the way this shook up for the 4 teams this year? Do you feel like there's a big problem with teams being left out this year?
Absolutely not. I think this turned out where, in my opinion, Frank, that they sat down in the room as a committee and said, okay, what do you guys think? And about maybe a half hour later, they had it all settled, and this is one of those few times where it's not like an NCAA tournament where you sit there and say, okay, team 69 through 72, I have an argument. I don't think there are really any arguments for teams 5 through 8.
Yeah, I think last year there might have been more arguments, but you know, and how long will it be? I mean, if it takes a couple more years to get it, I guess I'm just not getting all worked up. Is it? I mean, Ohio State, for example, you know, they had their chance to be in this position. They didn't do that, so they're playing in the Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. I mean, that's not such a bad deal for them. I mean,
no.
I don't know. I mean, do they deserve it any more to be in there than Michigan State? I don't think they can look at themselves in the mirror and think, oh, yeah, we deserve to be in there more. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
There are a couple of Penn State connections in this Georgia situation. One of them is that John Thomas, the former strength and conditioning coach, happens to be the Senior Associate Director of Strength and Conditioning at Georgia now, and Gus Felder happens to be his assistant coach down there. So is that one of the angles you're going to explore in this?
That's an interesting angle. I like the whole Greg Garrity connection. We finally saw Greg Jr. get some work the last couple of games. But, yeah, the Gus Felder, John Thomas, actually, I did not think of that. That is a very good call on your part. I did not know that Gus was working for him. No, that's a great angle. I really like that. And I remember doing a story on John, maybe it might have been in 06, something like that. And he has some interesting off-the-field interest that you would not necessarily associate with his character. Are you familiar with those?
No, I'm not. You'd have to tell me about that one.
Well, I hear that he's big into growing roses, or at least he was.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right? Do you just ring a bell?
Yes. I forgot all about that.
Maybe you wouldn't think he'd be working with roses at the start. But. So, yeah, it's interesting. I haven't really heard much about John lately, in per se, and I'm sure he's still doing a good job. And, yeah, that's a great angle.
See? Coming on the show finally helped you.
That's right. I love
instead
that.
Of me, instead of you helping me all the time. So when are you going to get, have you discussed yet when you're going to get down there and so forth and what your plans are down there?
Yeah, actually, you know, made arrangements last night, which is probably later than most of the guys and gals on the beat did. But so already there's not, you know, options shrinking up quickly. So getting down there on the 29th, I think that's when Penn State kind of officially moves into town or where they have their welcoming party that day.
Right, yeah. They're going to practice in-state college on the 27th. I know that. So.
Yeah, so I think the 29th they get there. And it gives you enough time to get a chance to talk to some of the guys. Probably a couple of bowl events. I'm also interested in the whole Penn State Jacksonville Jaguars connection there with the four
right.
guys starting for them.
Right. Well, exactly.
So that's kind of a neat thing in town.
Right. James was asked about and did touch on the offensive coordinator situation. Obviously, that'll be a story, and it sounds like it's a story based on how he answered it that could unfold before they go down there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think there's, 20, 30, 40 guys you could name that are would be intriguing choices depending on who James knows, feels comfortable, who's reaching out. See lots of names, being tossed around. Real interesting because here's the deal. I really don't think him or anybody else as a head coach in possession gets to fire two offensive coordinators. So you got to make sure this is the right guy. At this point,
right.
for him, I think.
No,
exactly. Really
exactly. What I found interesting when he was answering it the other day on Sunday, he said, you know, you have an idea of some people that you'd like to get in contact with, and then the second people find out your job is open, suddenly there are a lot more, some really interesting candidates to get in touch with you, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Penn State, you know, it's Penn State that's interesting to a lot of people that, you know, it's Franklin's staff and where they're headed, being able to have the recruiting foundation that they do. And I think, hey, maybe people know more on the inside in the business that James would like to have somebody have total control of the offense. And he doesn't necessarily appear to us as somebody who wants to meddle in the play calling or the offensive. You know, he wants somebody in charge of that. He wants somebody who can feel comfortable in charge of it. That's got to be appealing.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I think when you have that feel, I'm sure that I think all of us like to have that little bit of feel that you have some control over what you're doing. I know I do.
You're walking into a situation where you're not sure about that. Where, well, you know, he's real energetic and he's a control guy, and maybe I might not have that whole. But I think, you know, that whole control myself. But I think this guy will.
Right. Frank, always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, have a great basketball season until we see you down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm here in D.C. tonight. Should be a good one tonight with George Washington. So that's the next step before a couple of rec hall games.
Great. Stay busy and take care, Steve.
Frank, welcome. Great to have you.
Frank, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate it so much. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record.
Kevin's complete analysis, sentence by sentence, in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back, 800-753-765. Oh, what's the number again, Kevin? 9565. Let's get to the phone lines. Welcome. Who do we have? Where are you calling from?
This is Tony. Tony.
Hey, Tony. Hello. How are you? From Shamokin. How's
there
life in Shamokin today?
Well, Shamokin is still Shamokin.
There you go. It says it all, Tony. In the end, it says it all.
You're talking about going to eight teams in the playoffs. You realize that championship game, what will they play, three games?
Right. You'd end up playing three games. Well, you'd play the two teams in the championship would play two games above the norm. I think the way you do it is you probably would get rid of the conference championship games. Now the question is, do you think you can make more money doing it the other way?
Well, the thing is, you get to that championship game, you're going to have two pretty well beat up teams.
No question.
They're going to be playing tough competition. But and then what's going to happen after they put eight teams in? They're going to say, how about number nine? They really deserve to be there.
Well, you know what's interesting about this year, Tony? Is that there is no argument about four and five. Last year there was. This year there wasn't. That it actually broke for them. I mean, it probably took them 10 minutes. Most of the 9 minutes was trying to find the pencil and paper.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it did work out pretty good. And but last year that was a fiasco. I mean, Ohio State did win it.
Yeah, last year. Yeah, Ohio State was never in it until the last poll. But
right.
I'm still a firm believer, and the Big 12 may not like it, but you know what? I'm still a firm believer that if you want to do this thing, you better get a championship game. And the same thing with Notre Dame, because if you play one fewer game than the other guy does, why should you get that advantage?
That part bothers me, and
it goes back to your point, Tony, about, hey, you get pretty beat up. Well, why is it you only get to beat up 12 times and the other guy has to be beaten up 13 times?
Notre Dame, I don't think they should ever be considered.
Until they get in the conference, I agree with you.
What are they? What makes them so special? For Notre Dame, period. That's
NBC.
It. There you go.
Not even that does.
Yeah, but they don't want to share the money.
No, they don't. It's all for Notre Dame. And I hope the Big Ten never offers them to come into the league again. They had their shot.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going. Yeah, they had their shot. And the Big Ten's the only one that did it right. The Big Ten looked at them and they said, look, you're either all in or all out. We're not doing this half-hearted, you know, we're going to do it your way just because we want to have your name. And the ACC is now the latest to have made that mistake, just like the Big East made the mistake.
Exactly. Well, all I can say is 2017 will be there, or Penn State.
I think they're getting closer. They got to fill more holes in this roster, but they're getting closer to filling those holes.
And they will be filled. And I think
we've got the proper staff
there. I mean, they could say what they want. I mean, what Penn State has done since that nonsense went on has been remarkable. And there's only one way to go, and that's up. And Penn State's going to do it.
Never once below 500 while in survival mode. Now you're starting to allow the foot to go toward the accelerator, and I think you're going to start to see great results out of it.
So do I. I hope so. Hope I live for it. Listen, have a great day. Great weekend.
I hope so too, Tony. Happy holidays.
Same to you guys. Take care. Bye.
Thanks. Music at the bottom of the hour.
Can the NCAA force the Big 12 to have a championship game?
Well, they can change the rules saying that you don't need 12, but you must have two divisions.
See, I'm wondering if that's the answer.
Not want the Big Ten. Well, I've always said that was the answer. But the Big Ten has said, hey, look, we don't want this 1-9 thing where you pick two teams to play for it. The Big Ten says that they should have two divisions. I agree with that. I don't care if they have 10 or 12. It doesn't matter to me. But I think a requirement must be that you have two divisions. The numerical part, I don't really care much about. Doesn't matter. But two divisions, we have one division play the other. That I do care about.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. DeSean Jackson, the goal line's that way.
That was an easy one.
Unbelievable.
That was low-hanging fruit.
Hey, the goal line, the one you want to go to is down there. Oh, my goodness. Now, Chapman, who's allegedly being traded from the Reds to the Dodgers, which is now on hold, was also a strong second. In this because of a domestic violence issue in which he fired a gun 8 times, but into a wall.
Yeah. 8 times?
Yes. Absolutely. So there you go. That's what you got. You got those are our nominees for Bozo of the Day. As I said, there's no shortage of these. No shortage at all. Let's see. What bowl games will Kevin watch and not watch? That's going to be part of tomorrow's show.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely. This is one of our favorite segments of the year where people love to find out whether you'll watch or not because you are the voice of the fan.
Well, understand that some of these games I can't watch because I have a game of my own to do. So, you know, I don't get to see as many as I should.
Yeah. Those last an hour and 15 minutes. Move on.
2 hours.
$1.15.
There is a post-game show, you know.
Well, fine. Just say how many points the dude got and move on. By the way, Mark Slaybaugh has the Tax Slayer Bowl ranked 14th among bowl games out of 40.
You know, as soon as I heard, and you sent me a message that said, you know, Penn State's playing Georgia in the Tax Slayer Bowl, it was seconds later.
I should have sent that earlier because I found out at 10 in the morning.
Right, well, that's all right. That's okay. But seconds later, I go online to look at some of the details. And guess what the first thing I saw written up about the Tax Slayer Bowl was? A rematch of the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, I know.
And I thought of you the minute I started reading it.
Well, you know who's going to be a very popular individual that people are going to want to talk to? Without question. Right away.
Blackledge?
It's Greg Garrity. Because Greg is playing in the game. Okay, his father caught the game-winning touchdown.
No. I remember hearing the call now. I was placing it there. But was Blackledge the quarterback in that one, or am I getting confused with another? Okay.
Yeah, he was.
All right.
He was, but right. See, now his son's playing in the game.
Yeah, see, I didn't think of that, but that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
John Thomas is now the assistant strength and conditioning coach after all those years at Penn State. Gus Felder used to play at Penn State. He's now the assistant to John Thomas. So, I mean, there are a few links between the two along the way, and obviously their situation with the coaches is not an easy one. Interim, trying to make sure you've got your own personal life set up while still trying to be, obviously, a great professional that can, you know, put this behind you and go coach the game at the same time.
Is this an audition as well?
No. They've already picked Kirby Smart. He was introduced today.
Oh, see, that one I did not see yet. It must have happened when I was at lunch or something.
Kirby Smart was hired last week. He was officially introduced today. They did not want to officially introduce him until after the SEC championship game was over. The bizarre one is the Arizona Bowl, and it's actually a pretty good game, but it's Nevada against Colorado State. You have two teams from the same conference playing in the game. What?
There's an Arizona Bowl?
Yes, it's in Tucson.
Well, that would make sense.
Years ago, it was called the Copper Bowl.
Oh, okay. See, that there you go. That now I know what you're talking about. By the way, best bowl game name. We were playing this earlier this week here in the office. What in your opinion, what is the best bowl game name ever?
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh, the Pool and Weed Eater Independence Bowl.
That's the one. That's the one that everybody picked here. It's the Pool and Weed Eater Independence Bowl. And I remember the commercial, too. I remember the commercial, too, because they had every way you could pronounce Poland. Palan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now let's see. What do you got? The Cure Bowl, the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. You've got the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. You hate that one.
No, I don't like that.
Quick Lane Bowl, Popeye's Bahama Bowl, St. Petersburg Bowl, Gildan New Mexico Bowl, the GoDaddy Bowl, the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, the Hawaii Bowl, the Camping World Independence Bowl, the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl,
Time out.
New Orleans Bowl.
Hold on. The Hawaii Bowl. Now, that one used to be, wasn't that the Aloha Bowl?
Yes, now it's, yes. Now it's,
see, I like the Aloha Bowl. Why did you change it?
Don't look at me. I'm not in charge. Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. You've got
where they'll leave the light on for you.
Presented by Northrop Grumman.
Well,
Birmingham
that makes sense.
Bowl in search of sponsor. New Era Pinstripe Bowl. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Miami Beach Bowl. The San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Whoa, hold on about that one. Wait, read that one again?
San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Wow. How in the world do you get that on a logo?
It just takes up most of the field. Marmot Boca Raton Bowl, Foster Farms Bowl, the Belk Bowl, the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, the Hyundai Sun Bowl, the Taxslayer Bowl, the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, the Avocare V100 Texas Bowl, the Outback Bowl, the Holiday Bowl in search of a sponsor, Allstate Bowl, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Allstate Bowl?
Yes. Yeah.
The
Allstate Sugar Bowl.
The Allstate Sugar Bowl. Okay. I was going to say, yeah, Allstate has their own
Peach
bowl.
Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. Yep. Russell Athletic Bowl. Valero Alamo Bowl. The Rose Bowl presented by Northwestern Mutual. Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl.
Love that one.
College football, the Capital One Orange Bowl, and the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic.
All right, here's a fun one. Old bowl name, new bowl name. CarQuest Bowl.
Well, they don't exist anymore.
Okay. Now
they went dark.
Gator Bowl.
Well, I mean, that they made a mistake on that, as far as I'm concerned. I will say that when I'm down there. I think that in order to protect the identity of your bowl, you know, because sponsors change. Look at the Holiday Bowl. The Holiday Bowl has three different sponsors over time. Look at the Fiesta Bowl. In order to keep the identity of your bowl, you need to keep the name of your bowl in there. And that's where the college football playoff, for all the criticism they get, that was an absolute requirement that they had, that you had to keep your name in it. Thus, when Atlanta got involved, they were just the Chick-fil-A Bowl. They were told, they said, you will not get the game unless you put Peach back in it.
What happened to the Blue Bonnet Bowl?
Went dark, and they never paid Pitt. Pitt's still waiting for a check. They played in the 1989 Blue Bonnet Bowl, and Pitt never got paid.
Now, was that was Blue Bonnet the butter, right, that was the sponsor of that one?
Well, it was in the Astrodome, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yep.
That was always New Year's Eve. See, I knew what I was going to watch because they were all set up at the same way. And then I could follow along. You know, the Blue Bonnet Bowl was on New Year's Eve. Then New Year's Day, you had the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. And then you had the Rose Bowl. Then you had the Orange, and then the Sugar and Orange used to go head-to-head. And then we watch halftime in the Orange Bowl. Unfortunately, all that changed now. I hate growing up.
Yeah, halftime at the Orange Bowl. Let's see. The last Orange Bowl I did, you know what halftime at the Orange Bowl meant to me?
Well, you have a halftime show to do, so it doesn't count.
Yes, more time to fill. It's like, look, great stuff. Get off the field. Let's go. Let's get back to the game.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw a laser light show. I'm like, this is awesome. It was the only time my mother actually watched football.
Really?
Well, no, except fine. When I played. That doesn't count. But
yeah, that's fine. That's good.
All hey, New what? Year's Day, she goes, when's the Orange Bowl? It's not till dark, Mom. When's the Orange Bowl? Yeah. It's not till later.
Look, run a couple bands out there. Get it done. People love it. Move on.
Sucking the fun out of the bowl games, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Jones.
But the game is the game. I mean, look, I mean, here's, you want to know why I think that I don't want halftime being too long at a bowl game? And the Orange Bowl halftime was far too long.
You're right. That is long. Right? It was
because,
long.
Because it stales the football teams who need to get back and play in the game.
Very
and
true.
All of a sudden, you know, one waiting too long. I mean, 20 minutes is halftime in college football, and that's what they're used to. So do it. Just take care of it.
The Super Bowl has become an entire hour all by itself at halftime.
Well, and I think that's created a couple of problems along the way. That's for another time. It had nothing to do with that. The bands are great. Love 'em. Blue Band is awesome. I think they're incredible, the whole thing. But, again, I think people would rather see the two bands come out and perform at halftime instead of some pre-produced mumbo-jumbo. I think people love to hear the two bands.
No, I don't disagree with that.
I think they want to hear the two bands. Bring one out, bring out the other one. I think now you've done a heck of a halftime show, and people love that stuff. You know, and for the bands, it's great for them to travel. They get to do a special routine that they've been working on for over a month, and you go from there. And I think it's part of the bowl experience, I think, having them instead of having, you know, Mickey Mouse. I can go up to Orlando and see the mouse. Can't you? Yeah, go see the big mouse. You have nothing.
I got no. I'm just thinking that's the one nice thing, though, about college and high school football is the bands, and that's what makes it unique.
Well,
I like it when a band actually is active in the game. Like, the Blue Band is active during the game. They're playing stuff at the right time. I like that. I like that in high school, too. That's the one thing I missed in the NFL experience that I had. None of that happened.
No, it's 12 minutes, it's in, out, and they're back out playing again. I mean, that is what it is in the pros today. Their halftime's 12 minutes. They get you back to the game as quickly as possible. So, and that's just the way it is. Well, I'm going to exit here shortly. Kevin's going to finish out the show. Reason being is that the bus in Washington traffic is leaving at 5:05. So since we're fighting a rush hour here, so everybody from the Department of Energy can get home on time, we will, what?
Which is worse, traffic on the Strip right now or traffic in D.C.? It's a tough one.
Look, you know what? I look out here, and you know what? I see two things that strike me right away. I'm in the only area in the country that has 100% employment. Number two. I feel like I'm in the land of Lawrence. All right.
I bet you do.
Look, everybody across the river from me can solve all of my problems. All of them. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Getting ready to wrap up the Steve Jones Show. Coming up tonight, talk to Santa at 6. And even though Steve's got a basketball game, we have Shikellamy basketball on the radio for you and also on WKOK.com. It'll be Shikellamy and Central Columbia. It'll be the home opener for the Shikellamy Braves coming in at 0-1 after the loss Saturday night on the road at Lewisburg. Penn State you'll be able to catch on GoPSUSports.com. If you'd like to listen to the Penn State game, get caught up on everything going on in D.C. Another information that came available via GoPSUSports.com and the Bowl Central page, as we talked about many, many times already, the Penn State is headed to Jacksonville to take on Georgia in the Tax Slayer Bowl. That'll kick off January 2nd at noon. Airtime here on WKOK, by the way, will be at 10:30 from Everbank Field. Seating of 70,000 in that stadium. You can get tickets starting tomorrow morning at gopsusports.com/bowlcentral. You can call 800-NITNY between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow. You can also visit the Bryce Jordan Center ticket office between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. to buy tickets for that game. They also have bowl tour land and air packages. The air package includes game tickets, round-trip charter air service from Harrisburg, three-night deluxe hotel accommodations, transfers between the airport and hotel, an exclusive Penn State welcome gathering, the round-trip transportation to Penn State's January 1st pep rally, and admission to the official Penn State pregame tailgate. That's the air package. What deluxe accommodations are defined as, I don't know. Some of the times when I see deluxe accommodations, it means you actually have a bed for every person. Sometimes it means you at least have two beds for four people. Other times, it means you have one bed and you have to paper, scissors, stone to see who wins. I don't know. I'm just saying that's what it says. Now, the land package includes game tickets, three-night deluxe hotel accommodations, the exclusive Penn State welcome gathering, round-trip transportation to Penn State's January 1st pep rally, and admission to the official Penn State pregame tailgate. And I'm sure that will also include Steve Jones and Jack Ham at that official tailgate. Or at least the pep rally, I should say, maybe not the tailgate. The official game day package is just tickets and admission to the pregame tailgate on January 2nd. And all that goes on sale again starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. You can get more information at gopsusports.com/bowlcentral. You can also call 800-NITNY later in the day tomorrow. And if you want to do it in person, if you are so inclined, you can go to the Bryce Jordan Center. So that's information on tickets and packages that are available for the Tax Slayer Bowl. Again, coming up tonight, Shikellamy Braves basketball. And as I mentioned earlier, the Braves trying to bounce back after the loss on the road to Lewisburg. And they did not shoot well in that game. Did not shoot well at all. Very well from the line. Shot 83% from the line in that game. I think that's what the final numbers were. Again, Lewisburg with some great size inside. Some very good shooters. Just a little too much for the Braves to handle when you're not shooting well. They're going to try and rectify that tonight against a Central Columbia team that really surprised us last year. You know, Central Columbia and Coach Snyder's teams typically were a slow tempo game.
and kind of frustrated you defensively. And then last year, all of a sudden, they picked up the pace quite a bit. Now the Chief and I went back, whoa, this is a little bit different. So we're not quite sure what we're going to see tonight from the Central Columbia Blue Jays, but game time is set for 7:30. Airtime here on WKOK is at 7:06. Steve is back tomorrow beginning after 3 with another edition of the Steve Jones Show. We'll have the phone lines open for your calls and comments at 800-795-9565. And we'll continue to look at the Tax Slayer Bowl as well as all the other bowl games that are going to be starting before you know it.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.